Hello and welcome back to the NFL Talk Podcast. I'm Cathal Keane.
And I'm Gary Somerville from the Paddy Pigskin Podcast. And it's a mashup podcast this week because we are all down in Orlando, Florida. Beautiful Orlando, Florida at the moment.
Well, not for too much longer.
Yeah, we're looking out the window here now and it's very sunny, but we know that hell is coming in about 2 hours.
It's the morning of the Pro Bowl and hopefully we'll get this episode out pretty much as soon as we record it. So if you are looking for a bit of football listening on a day that, you know, the Pro Bowl isn't known for being a great football event.
No.
Make a bit better by listening to us talk about it, maybe.
Yeah, it's a bit of fun. Yeah. I mean, you can see in the
practices and stuff. We have a fun idea for what we're gonna talk about. This mashup mashup is the right word.
Mashup, yeah.
Crossover episode, whatever you want to call it, has been in the works for, it's something we've wanted to do, and now that I'm over in Miami, Gary's come down to Orlando.
Yeah. We had a slight bit of crossover in my early days because Kieran Fitzpatrick from the NFL Talk podcast came on. I chatted to him about his time at the Jacksonville Jaguars camp in London. So there has been some element of crossover, but this is an official mashup now. So,
and maybe it's worth saying at the start. So if you're an NFL Talk listener, whatever way you listen to our podcast, make sure you subscribe to Paddy Pigskin on the same podcast platform.
And then vice versa. Yeah, for anybody that listens to Paddy Pigskin and hasn't heard of NFL Talk
before. What are you doing, first of all? What are you doing, first of all?
Yeah. What are you doing, first of all? If you're not subscribing and downloading the episodes, the lads are great. Really good chemistry between them. They are on iTunes, like ourselves. You guys are on Podbean,
yeah.
And pretty much anywhere, really. Our favourite podcast app is where you can catch both myself and Cahill's.
And we both obviously have the Facebook pages, which is the way to,
that's right,
to keep track of us. So that's enough plugs, I think.
It's shameless enough. Yeah, just follow us on all the social media, listen to our shit, and yeah. Everybody's going to be happy. So,
do you want to explain what we're going to do here on the show?
Sure, yeah. So because we're down in Orlando, Pro Bowl's going on. The fans vote in the players, which we've been speaking about. I don't know. It's a little bit, because it's a popularity contest.
It's a terrible system. I think the players actually vote as well, which might even make it worse, the fact that there's a bit of favoritism involved.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think every NFL fan kind of has issues with the players that are voted into the Pro Bowl, and that's reflected in when you compare them to, say, the All-Pro team with actually analysts who know what they're talking about.
Absolutely, yeah.
Instead of just the kind of the big names being voted in every year. So I guess we decided that it'd be a good idea to give our Pro Bowl rosters based on our own opinions that we think probably reflect the level of play in the league.
True.
A bit more.
Yeah, and the thing is, because I'm a Giants fan, sadly at the moment, I'm going to go with the NFC. Cahill, being a Bengals fan, it's perfect, really. We got the NFC and the AFC covered.
Are you only doing the NFC?
Oh, yeah. Well, are you doing both?
I never knew about this. We've literally been sitting here for the last hour. I have my AFC and NFC.
Okay, well, maybe we'll only do your AFC then. No, I thought we were doing NFC.
Hang on,
AFC.
I'll do my AFC.
We really should have discussed this before we went live.
And we actually discussed a lot about the exact details of what we were about
to
do.
Yeah.
I'll give my AFC team, and you can give your input throughout that. Give your NFC, and I obviously have a lot of details about that, so I'll give my thoughts on that as well. But yeah, we can still base it off the general AFC, NFC. So that actually is a good idea, but if I knew about it beforehand.
You know, we're down here enjoying ourselves. We're not in college or in work, so we'll just freeball as we go and see how we do. Do you want to start with AFC or NFC?
Yeah.
Alphabetically, we start with AFC?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
And just, first of all, one final thing before we actually get into this.
Sure.
Is the structure. So there's not really too much reason behind it. We thought this just kind of works out the best way. We have one quarterback, two running backs, fullback, respect for the dying position, two receivers and a tight end. And I personally didn't include an offensive line.
Jeez, we really should have spoken about this, shouldn't we?
you knew about that part.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Gary wanted to include an offensive line. I have a lot of respect for the offensive line. This isn't a shot at any offensive lineman, but
you know, you're going to get some shit now after this.
No, I know that I'm not in any way decent evaluator of offensive line play. I just go off what people tell me, so I don't really have any personal opinion on it, so I decided to leave it out. And then defensively, we've got pretty much a base 4-3. That's exactly what
base
we got.
Base 4-3, yeah. And then we got like some of the special teams guys. Yeah. So we got
to give some respect to the brand.
Of course, yeah, respect to the brand. We got kicker, punter, and basically a returner.
I've got a little.
You've got the special team guy in as well.
Yeah. I mean, not the special team. Maybe. Well, yes.
You got a surprise. Got a surprise coming up.
An even more disrespected position than the offensive line. We'll talk about it later. But yeah, let's kick off with the AFC, and there's no surprises here with my pick.
Okay.
And it's Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I don't know if you included Eagles in yours, but this isn't based on who's actually going to play in the Pro Bowl. So, led the league in passing yards.
Yeah.
Third in touchdowns. And his level of play, not only, I think he had a great, like an unbelievable season last year, and I don't think he's taken a step back at all. No. And if anything, over these last couple of years, he's just gotten better and better. And while you were having your nap last night, actually, I actually did catch up on the Tom versus
I did. I thought I heard it. I was like, Jesus, am I inboxing that long now that I'm actually dreaming about Tom Brady?
No.
Or is it actually real life going on outside my bedroom? Yeah. But I think it was a good insight.
Yeah, just into his life. And everyone, it's well documented, his whole diet thing.
Mm.
And that clearly, so clearly has helped him over these past couple of years. Not only sustain that level of play, but just continue to go on and on. The fact that we're here one week removed from Tom Brady playing in another Super Bowl at 40 years old is just, it's just incredible at this stage. It's
like 50% of the seasons he's been a starter in the NFL, he's in a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, it's just unheralded success that nobody will ever reach, I don't think.
No.
It's going to take an absolutely special talent to reach that level. And I talk shit about him all the time. It's just because I like winding up my Patriot like buddies that are in Boston. But I have the ultimate respect for him. He just gets it done year in, year out. How can you argue?
I just
look at the numbers.
Yeah, I was saying to you yesterday about how hard I was rooting for the Jags against the Patriots. But then after a couple of days to reflect on it, you can hate the Patriots, but you have to respect them.
Absolutely.
You can hate Tom Brady just for how good he is, but how can you not just respect how amazing he is?
And anybody that says any different, it's just blind hatred and just jealousy. That's all. And like we've played the game. We respect guys at various positions, and we respect other teams. You know, like we've played in a league where another team in Ireland has been dominant for a long time, and it's just like, you know, they're just simply better at the moment. Yeah. You just have to give credit where it's due. And, you know, plenty of it is due Tom Brady's way. And maybe a smidgen towards Alex Guerrero. But we won't get into that.
Was he was the guy who was actually giving him those massages in the first episode of Tom, wasn't he? Yeah,
so he's the guy. So a couple of, for any NFL talk listeners that may not have heard, we did like a little TB12 book club. And we basically just slated Alex Guerrero. Like, being a scientist, I'm going to look for the science/medical referencing, which there was none of in the book. And he's been around a long time. He's been investigated by the Federal Trade Commission, Alex Guerrero, about some of his shady practices. But here, Tom Brady qualifies everything he says by saying, look, this works for me. It may not work for you. That's how he covers his ass when he says everything in the book. So it does work for him. And fair play to him. He's found something that's worked for him.
And he's
keep him at it.
I think he mentioned this in the first episode that he wishes he had started adopting this lifestyle way earlier in his life. And just imagine, I wonder if that would mean if he could play till 50 or something like that now, or if he just would have won more Super Bowls when he was younger. But
which is a terrifying prospect.
It's scary to think about. He actually has left a lot on the field because of not adopting that kind of lifestyle earlier in his life.
True. Well, he left two rings on the field, and that was the New York Giants. So who knows what he would have done if he had those kind of nutritional and like training practices under his belt when he played the Giants. That was 2 years.
And why isn't every quarterback in the league doing this now? You can see it's so clear as day that this
maybe they
don't want it enough.
Maybe they are now and they're just not telling us. Who knows?
All the quarterbacks just taking in that avocado ice cream in bulk. Tom Brady is my AFC quarterback. Moving on to my two running backs. I've got Le'Veon Bell here. I think he's been the best running back in the NFL for a number of years. This list is based off this current year, and I think he showed no signs of slowing down either. Mm-hmm. Almost 2,000 yards from scrimmage, he ended up with 1,946. And he's just the perfect example of the modern-day running back, of a
absolutely
guy who can do absolutely everything.
And his unique running style as well. Like, you always hear it in every broadcast, oh, he's so patient. But it is, like, it's to have that, like, trust in both the guys blocking for you and your own ability to slow down almost to like 50-25%.
You seem just standing still sometimes, just waiting to see what develops. And I've often thought about how, like, he's changed the way the position is played. And I think you might start to see more guys coming out of college kind of adopting that style of play, because it makes so much sense. And the Steelers do have a great offensive line, but I feel like that kind of play can, if you have a bad offensive line, that could potentially make up for it if you have that, can have that kind of patience.
Mm.
And you do see it sometimes with Bell where he's standing still and he just gets creamed out of nowhere. And that is going to happen. But overall, when you have that, when you can have that patience, it's really great. And it will be interesting to see, because obviously he's a free agent. He was on the franchise tag this year. What the Steelers decide to do with him, because there has been, well, I think too much talk about the Steelers kind of letting him go. Obviously, running backs.
Pay the man. Just pay the man and keep him in your roster. Like, you can't let a guy like that just walk away.
No.
He's too valuable. But in, like, he's just such a good player. He's there. He's at the top of the rankings every year. You don't let a guy like that walk away, you know? Especially now, if Big Ben only has a year or two left in him.
Yeah, you need to maximize.
You need, you're in win now mode, you know? You got to get the pieces around him to help him win before he packs up and leaves.
Yeah. My second running back, a lot of people would be going with Kareem Hunt here, the league leader in rushing yards, but I'm actually going with LeSean McCoy.
Okay.
I just love what he did this season. He completely carried that Bills offense pretty much on his own, because you had all the quarterback kind of turnover and not that much happening at receiver. Kelvin Benjamin, I think, was probably a bit of a disappointment compared to what they could have expected from him. But the one thing they could count on all year long was Shady absolutely ripping it up. And loved the toughness that he showed in that Jags game. I don't think people are talking about that enough, how he suffered a pretty bad injury just a week earlier. And you couldn't even tell out in the field against the Jags that he was suffering at all. He had a great game. So really impressed with what he's done this year. He's going to be 30 by the start of next season.
Which is normally game over for running backs. That age is like, see ya.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing a drop-off, but he certainly hasn't shown any signs so far this season.
Not at all, no. That's a pretty good pick. Like, Kareem Hunt, if he didn't go cold for those few weeks, shoe-in. But he did drop off dramatically in many categories. I think that definitely, I'm assuming you would have been going Hunt if he hadn't dropped off.
Yeah. If he was out, well, he'd be.
Shady's just a consistent guy throughout the year.
Exactly. Right, my fullback love here. Had to go dive deep into my research notes to come up with this name. No, not really. Roosevelt Nix, who I think is actually here representing the AFC in the Pro Bowl.
Steelers?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's a Louis Nix the Third or something as well, isn't there, that player?
He's a defensive tackle, isn't he? Yeah, he's a defensive tackle. He's a big lad, yeah.
I always get them mixed up. It's just the same surname, and it's not that common.
So, yeah, I'll pair him up with Bell. Like, I was looking through just the list of AFC fullbacks, and I was just, he was the guy who I noticed, you do actually see him on TV making key blocks for Bell. So can't give as much analysis on this player as I could maybe on guys like Tom Brady and Lev Bell. But
that's a tough job for a block. If you're a fullback blocking for Bell, you know, you got to make sustained blocks, because you know he's just going to be dancing.
Exactly,
around.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't, if you just think a block for 1 second, like most running backs will spring a big run. No. With Bell, you got to make maybe a block for 2 or 3 seconds, let him dance around, and then make his move. So blocking for someone like Le'Veon Bell is no easy job. So hats off to Nix, getting it done each week.
I don't know what I'm thinking here, because I'm putting in a load of Steelers, but
which is surprising, because you're like, they're your biggest rivals in the AFC North.
I'm going with Antonio Brown here, receiver, and I've often talked about kind of Julio and AJ as my guys, as maybe the best receiver in the league. But this season I kind of have just come around to the fact that Antonio Brown is the best receiver in the league.
He's not a huge guy, but we were saying
and
to
you
this
were
guy,
saying that
he
yesterday
plays big.
When we were at practice, who was saying, was it your dad who was saying it?
No, it was some random dude that was like sitting behind us, I think.
He was chatting about
just AB.
How small he looked in person. And he did.
He's unreal. The plays he makes, like the fact that he came back from his calf injury, there was no way he was near 100%. No. And I'm like, he might not feature too heavily. How wrong was I? Because he shows up, he does his job almost week in, week out. he's just like, he's one of those match proof players.
Yeah,
it's kind of like when he was against the Jags, they were like, oh, he's going against Bouye and Ramsey. Yeah, and what?
Yeah,
he scores these unbelievable touchdowns, like guys hanging off him. So phenomenal talent.
He had over 1,500 receiving yards. That was the best in the league. And that was in just the 14 games, I think, because of the calf injury.
Yeah, yeah.
Nine touchdowns as well. So the Steelers really need to be starting winning a Super Bowl maybe sometime soon. When you've got Bell and Brown, like, they need to get their shit together.
And Brown's a great story. Another sixth-round draft pick out of Western Michigan, is it? The Chippewas or whatever they're called. But that's a great story. Like, he came in having a chip on his shoulder like Brady, and he's risen to the top of his
position.
And it
took him a while, because I remember when Mike Wallace would have been considered the number one receiver on that Steelers team when Antonio Brown was there. He was a bit more just kind of like a punt return guy, but he really just developed really well. Another guy who I think has developed really nicely over the past couple of seasons has been DeAndre Hopkins, and I have him as my second receiver on this AFC team.
Baller.
He just continues to dominate the competition despite the bad quarterback play.
Ah, unreal.
And that just makes you so excited for next year if you can get Deshaun Watson healthy for a full season. Because I think DeAndre Hopkins was always a guy who would give you those real flashy plays, just unbelievable catches. But I think, especially this season and last season, he's developed into just a real well-rounded receiver who can do everything. Not just a guy who makes a one-handed catch or ridiculous plays. He's just, he's easily at, I think, easily a top five guy in the league, if not a top three.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. It's just a shame that Deshaun Watson went down. Like, they were so enjoyable to watch when they had Will Fuller come back from injury. Like, even Will Fuller, he put up crazy numbers in only the few games he was, like, fully fit. You had Hopkins and Fuller, and it was like pick or poison.
Yeah.
Either way, you're going to die, because these guys are just balling out on either side. And when Watson went down, I think Fuller's production went down with it, and they're basically just targeting Hopkins. But Hopkins is a special talent. Like you said, he's had numerous bad quarterbacks over the years. Imagine the numbers he would put up if he had a legitimate quarterback throwing the ball. Crazy.
Brady, maybe trade him to the Patriots.
Who knows? Like, that would be a... Like, you know, he's probably not going to win with the Texans for a couple of years. I don't think they're going to win next season.
Well, they're going to want to keep on to this with their young quarterback.
In the tail end of his career, if he's still a good player and he's like, listen, I want to ring, I want to cement my legacy as a player before I leave.
Tom Brady will still be knocking around at 50,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay, let me finish off my AFC offense with the tight end position. I'm not thinking Gronk here, I'm thinking Travis Kelce. Over 1,000 receiving yards this season. Gronk did top him in receiving yards, but just looking back on the entirety of the regular season, Travis Kelce was just a huge piece on that offense. And you saw what happened when he went out against the Titans in that playoff game. The Chiefs' offense just completely fell apart.
Yeah.
I think Gronk is still the biggest mismatch in the entire NFL. One of the biggest mismatches in NFL history. And you have to account for him on every single play. But I think this was just a year for Gronk that was really good, but not absolutely spectacular. And I think Kelce had a very, very good season. So maybe I just don't want to just go with the norm and put in Gronk and give Travis Kelce a bit of love, but I think he has had a really, really good season.
Yeah, Gronk, like you said, he's one of those, he's a horrible mismatch for anybody. He's deceptively quick, especially when he's running those same routes down the middle. It's just, there's nobody on him. He's blown past the linebackers, and all of a sudden, the last guy in line is a safety. You know, he's probably getting 10 yards a yak after the catch, and he's blowing up somebody. He's just, you know, every now and then he takes a big lick. That is the one concern about Gronk. He does get hurt a lot. It's just his style of play. No shifty moves. He just puts the head down, and guys that want to hit him in the head, like, unfortunately, Barry Church clipped him from the Jags, but a lot of guys are going low on him, and he's getting his back injuries and his knee injuries. Be a scary prospect if he was 100% all year long.
Yeah.
Like, the numbers he would put up would be obscene.
And what do you think? Would you go Kelce or Gronk?
This is a tough one. I really enjoy both guys. I just think Kelce durability would put him over the top for me. Both guys had great years. Kelce for me as well.
Do you want to go? Will we go NFC offense now, and then I'll go AFC defense and NFC defense, just so I'm not talking the whole time.
No problem. Okay, so for QB. Our colleague Jer will appreciate this, who's actually on the couch in the nip at the moment, watching Netflix.
Here, are you sure it's Netflix?
No, thankfully, it's not on Facebook Live. I mean, we can make it happen. I got to go with Carson Wentz. 11-2 win loss before he went down. 3,300 yards, 33 touchdowns, to only 7 ints. Like his rating, 102 across the year. Fantastic season. And we all thought when he went down against the Rams, I was like, you know, I've been saying this all year long. People are like, oh, you're a Giants fan, you shouldn't be rooting for the Eagles. I just appreciate good players and good play. He just happens to play for the Eagles. When they went down, I was devastated. I was like, ah, oh, this is just the bad luck that Philly have been having for so long. And yeah, here they are in the Super Bowl next week. Just
pretty sure they overtook a gypsy funeral as well.
The Mayo GAA course. Carson Wentz, an absolute lock for me at quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know if I was wrong to do this, but I actually didn't consider Carson Wentz for my NFC roster. I guess, yeah, I probably should have because he was injured so late in the season, but I was putting him into the kind of like injured category when I probably shouldn't have. But, Jared, what are you looking at me like that for?
I'm trying to see who you went with.
I went with Drew Brees, and you can't argue with that. I think...
I had him as my honourable mention. Okay. So he's thereabouts, yeah. Even got his Pro Bowl t-shirt, so that's how much Drew means to me.
Yeah, well, you are looking to trade it in for a
Landon Collins. Yeah, because they have not the Landon Collins one,
so you can't say, you know, you're too loyal to him.
But he was my go-to, and they hadn't got any Giants ones. I was like, who's my go-to? All right, I'll go to Drew.
Yeah, I think it is unfortunate, because he's never been considered the best quarterback at any point in the league, at any point of his career, because of Brady and Manning. But he's just under them, I think. And his performance, particularly against the Vikings this season in the playoffs, was one of the best I think we saw all season from any quarterback. The comeback.
There was one particular play, 4th and 10.
I know exactly where. To Willie Snead.
Cold running through his veins. Like on a, I think it was like an out or a sail route or something, man. It was like he just whipped his ball sack out. He's like, I don't care if it's 4th and 10. I'm converting this and we're moving the chains. It was just the epitome of Drew Brees. Yeah. Ice cold.
And
loved it.
He probably feels right now like he should be preparing for a Super Bowl because he did everything he needed to do to take his team to Super Bowl and the defense couldn't hold up their end of the deal.
Mm.
So it's unfortunate. But, it is.
And credit to him. Like, he's out here in Orlando. Like, he's having an absolute blast with his kids. It looks like he's one of those. We don't really know if he's hurt. He is hurting deep inside. But my God, he doesn't really show it because he's out there having an absolute whale of a time with his kids. And I think he's just shut that moment out of his memory now, and it's like, that's the kind of, you gotta have short term memory. Mm-hmm. It's done, it's over. Enjoy your off season now and come back and try and go one better next year.
Go ahead and do it to your running backs.
Fullback. Fullback. Right. Seeing as he's the guy that's blocking for the fancy running backs behind him. I don't know how you pronounce it because I always get it wrong. Kyle Juszczyk.
Juszczyk,
okay.
Although that might be the real kind of. Where? What are you? I don't know what kind of orange in that.
Probably like, Polish or maybe Czech or something like that would it be. Owner, the largest. He has the largest contract in NFL history for a fullback. Got him from the Ravens, signed a big deal. Like, his stats are nothing sexy. I didn't even bother looking at them. But I just know from watching him week in, week out, he's been blocking for Carlos Hyde. That's pretty much the only running back they have that produces. But, he seems to be consistent every week.
Well, I think it's the fact that he's such a good pass catcher as well. He offers you something that, like, I don't think any other fullback in the league offers you. He's a proper weapon on offense in the passing game. I have the stats here because I foolishly did my research on these NFC players. He caught 33 passes this season, which is good. But that's actually down from 37 and 41 the previous two seasons. So he's catching a lot of passes for a fullback, yeah.
My honourable mention was Coombe. He was like, you got to get him in there. Like, running backs, Coombe. I mean, there's no real argument with these. Starter Todd Gurley, just an absolute beast in both phases of the game. 13,000 yards, 13 touchdowns, nice little...
Not 13,000.
sorry, 1,000. 1,300 yards. That's pretty good season for him. 13 touchdowns and then 788 receiving yards. I believe 6 touchdowns. Like, some of those plays he makes, it's like a screen that might be maybe 10 yards for another running back and he takes it like 60 or 70 yards. Just explosive.
Thank God for Sean McVay, because otherwise...
Found out his wife or his girlfriend?
Oh, wait, what did we find out?
She's unbelievably hot.
I thought that was some other story behind this. I was like, a picture.
Nah, she's just unbelievably hot in a bikini. That's all we learned yesterday. So fair play to him.
That man has got everything going for him.
Hero. My honourable mention at that position, I mean, this one's hard.
Well, do you not have a second?
I do, yeah, but for running back one, I just had Mark Ingram as my honourable mention. Who did you have?
I had Todd Gurley.
Okay, yeah. So no real arguments there. My starter at running back two, Alvin Kamara, rookie, again, another kind of dual-headed monster in both phases of the game. 728 yards rushing, 8 TDs, 826 yards receiving and 6 touchdowns. So just one of those nightmare mismatches. They put him in the slot there on linebackers and he's catching passes in his little Santa Claus cleats and just making crazy moves. So
I saw some outrageous tweet from someone who claimed that the NFL was kind of discriminating against those who celebrated Christmas because they fined Alvin Kamara for wearing those cleats. So yeah, Roger hates Christmas.
So dumb.
I think obviously you mentioned about what a great deal threat he is. I think he's what Christian McCaffrey was supposed to be this season. And he's just, it's interesting because I was looking through kind of the list of running backs by stats, by yards, and Alvin Kamara was like nowhere on that list, obviously, because he was splitting so much time with Ingram and a lot of his damage was done through the air as well.
Yeah.
But I don't think, I actually had him as well as my second guy. And for a guy who kind of didn't put up all the yards that a lot of other kind of starting running backs did, for both of us to put him here in the top two running backs in the NFC just shows what an impact he has this season.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. My honourable mention there was Jordan Howard, just because they don't really have a passing game there at Chicago. Yeah. And he went over 1,000 yards and they got the rookie, they got Mitch Trubisky in there, so they were expecting Jordan Howard to kind of take the pressure off their rookie quarterback a lot, which he did. Helped having Tariq Cohen every now and then would come in and have one or two big games. But that would be my honourable mention at running back too, Jordan Howard for the Bears.
So how do you look at Christian McCaffrey? Because you talked about him there. He caught the most passes of any running back this season.
Yeah, but in terms
of... He's not big. Like, he's not a guy you're expecting to bust a gut run. So they incorporated him into Cam's type of game and had him run screens and slants.
So would you say he had a successful season, given the expectations? Like, he should be a guy who's... when you draft him where you draft him, you need to put...
Doesn't matter.
Well, then don't draft him if he's only going to be... You can get those guys all over the draft, guys who can catch passes out of the backfield and not have that much of an effect in the running game.
Speed, though. They used him as a returner as well.
Like, the numbers Kamara had is what the Panthers were expecting out of McCaffrey, I think, when they drafted him. But he didn't... I mean, it's all about the numbers. He didn't really get them,
it's
so...
Really the position. As well, like, the unfortunate thing is he's playing running back. Just stick him in the slot like an Amendola or Edelman.
Yeah, but I think it's mostly just the draft position and the expectations, because then you're drafting a slot receiver in the top 10, which is kind of ridiculous.
But they also had Jonathan Stewart there to take the bulk hits.
Yeah,
but Kamara was what? Was he second or fourth round?
Early third round.
So second round. Third overall, yeah. Okay. So, like, the production they're getting from him from where they drafted him, like, that's pretty
solid. I think they actually traded up and gave up a second-round pick this year to actually go get him. So they
knew.
So they did actually end up giving up, like, a second and a third-round pick for him, but obviously it's worth it.
You'll take it, yeah.
Yeah.
Wide receiver, just number one because of the story and just I like the style of play that he comes out with. Adam Thielen, 91 receptions. For 1,000, almost 1,300 yards, not 13,000 yards, 4 touchdowns. Just a great story. Like, he comes undrafted out of Minnesota State, gets a shot with his hometown team, the Vikings, and just has come out of nowhere and put up crazy numbers. White wide receiver in his position, not that common because he does play on the outside a lot of the time.
Yeah, usually you're talking about like that slot guy.
Dola and Edelman in the slot, but this guy is getting it done on the outside.
I think he might be the best route runner in the league.
His intangibles and all are just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. You see him come back downhill to make catches on underthrown balls and all. It's just instinct and just a nose for the football. So, yeah.
He came out of nowhere this season because he was the guy who was kind of like, solid number two receiver, but finishing top five in receiving yards this season was ridiculous.
And he was consistent because you see like the NFL on their Instagram or whatever, they have these little cartoons and it's yards leading. He was... it was like him, Diggs, and Brown, like, for many, many weeks. It was just the same three guys. So it's not like he had a, you know, a 300-yard game like Julio or something and just blew him up in the numbers, but he was consistent all year long. So that's my number one. Michael Thomas would be my honourable mention, even though he's down here now. Big Buckeye fan, so I watched a lot of him. Jesus, a dog attacking somebody outside our window as we speak. or it's a guy, it might be an alligator, who knows? Yeah, Michael Thomas.
He's fucking going crazy.
Michael Thomas was cold at the start, but he has too much talent to stay at that level all year. So, yeah, that woman's definitely dead outside, I think. So he'd be my honourable mention at wide receiver one. So, or on one side of the ball, should I say.
Who's your second receiver then?
Larry Fitz.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, 109 receptions, like 1,200 yards almost. Like, we were only looking at stats earlier on before we came on. His last 3 years, all 1,000 plus.
Yeah.
Like, he's back at the levels he was at like 6 or 7 years ago when he was a lot younger guy. Father time hadn't caught up with him.
And he's another guy who's kind of been deprived of any half-decent quarterback throughout his career, so that's unfortunate.
Like, how many QBs were throwing him the ball this year? Like, 3 or 4, was it? Well, Carson Palmer to start off.
And then
off.
You had Blaine Gabbert and what's your man's name?
Was
yeah
Drew Stanton. Barkley wasn't in there at some stage this year, was he not?
I don't think so.
That was last year, maybe. Barkley was on the Cardinals at one stage. Yeah. I don't know if he started a game, but there you go. Three different guys throwing
still
him the ball.
Yeah.
Piling up the receptions. Who you got?
I had Michael Thomas and Adam Michael Thielen. Thomas. So okay. I think Michael Thomas just is the perfect number one receiver. Just the size, fees.
He's and very, even, very. I was looking at his legs. He's skipping leg day. Yeah, it wasn't a calf
actually,
to his name.
There's something about. I actually think you'll notice that with AJ Green as well. Some of these kind of lanky guys.
Mm.
Like, that's their physique, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah.
He I noticed that, yeah, his legs look kind of small, but he looks like just such an athlete. He looks like he'd absolutely just roast you. Like.
No doubt about that.
Not you personally. Well, he probably would roast.
Nah, definitely me. All of us.
You know, he might beat us, you know. Yeah.
Honorable mention, got to have Julio in there, just because he's a freak of nature. Like,
I think it's probably the same thing that I did with Rob Gronkowski in kind of overlooking the guy who's always just a beast every year. You kind of want to give some love to the guys who don't always get that.
Yeah.
So Julio, like, I think he finished number 2 in receiving yards, and he's arguably the best receiver in the league. But
it took him a while to get his first touchdown, though.
I believe it was a
few weeks into the season, and people were like
Sarkisian not getting the ball in the red zone. So although they did try on that last play against the Eagles, but that was fucking terrible.
He was never going to get his feet in anyway. Tight end, I got Zach Ertz, who was
I thought you were going Evan Ingram here.
Well,
not the beef between you and Jair.
I mean, Zach Ertz has been consistent throughout the season, and he's been pretty good in the postseason. So I'm going with Zach Ertz, but it's very close. 8 touchdowns. He didn't even put down Ingram's touchdown number. I think he had 8 as well. But I got Zach Ertz, 824 yards, 8 touchdowns. He had real good chemistry with Carson Wentz. When he was in there, they just seemed to be linking up nicely. So I got him number one. I got Evan Ingram. The fact that he's a rookie and they lost, some of it's probably a result of they just kept funneling targets to him when they lost Odell, Brandon Marshall, and Sterling Shepard was out for a few weeks with different injuries.
Yeah.
He just got a lot of work.
Yeah, I picked him up in fantasy just because, like, he's the only receiving option that they have now.
Yeah, he won me a few quid in DraftKings purely because he gets all the catches, but. I was a bit, when I saw they drafted him, I was like, ugh, I was a bit apprehensive. I didn't really know too much about him, but the more tape I looked, I was like, this is a special talent. And Mark Bavaro, Giants legend who won 2 rings with the New York Giants, said he's like one of the best athletes at tight end he's ever seen. Can't block a toilet, but like in fairness, he gets it done in the passing game. So
I'll
take it.
I had him behind like Njoku and OJ Howard, like coming out of the draft, purely for the fact that he couldn't block.
Yeah, as did most people.
Yeah, but he outperformed both of them this season, and it's interesting how they use him. It's to be expected, as kind of given his skill set coming out, that they don't ask him, I think, to block that much. He's almost just a big slot receiver.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
If he can keep performing like he does, that's all you need him to do, basically. Yeah.
We'll rattle through the O-line real quick.
Yeah. Like, give a bit of respect.
We'll group all as in, there will be no stats. They just did their job and they blocked. And
we'll give you a pat on the back and then send you on your way.
Your quarterback didn't die and you blocked for your running back. So I got Andrew Whitworth at tackle for the Rams, Brandon Brooks, guard for the Eagles, center Alex Mack leaving the Browns was the best decision he ever made. Maybe Joe Thomas needs to wake up a little bit and do the same. Zach Martin, who was actually on the Giants big board when he came out of Notre Dame, I believe it was. Yeah. I was convinced they were going to take him. They didn't take him. Looking back now, we really need offensive talent.
Who did they take in that first round?
I think they took... Can you remember, Jerry, when Zach Martin... Could have been, yeah. I thought it was a guy from another position.
I'll look it up if you want to keep on.
Yeah, but we'll move on. Right tackle, I got Lane Johnson, who has just been... I mean, Jerry and I have watched some of the Eagles games, and you see a defensive end or linebacker on his hole, and it's like, that's just Lane Johnson absolutely killing people as usual. So, yeah, that was a no-brainer there. And I guess I'll do my special teams where you're looking up the Giants draft board. Did you find it?
I'm about to.
Kicker, Greg Zuerlein, Greg the Leg... 38 of 40 field goals, good for 95%. PATs, he's only missed two. So he hit 44 out of 46. But honorable mention, I will give to Jake Elliott of the Eagles.
Did you know the Bengals drafted him in the fifth round and then fucking put him on the practice squad to keep Randy fucking Bullock, Fat Randy.
Fat Randy. He did break my heart in, what week was it, Jerry, when you bastards beat us? Week 4. I was in San Francisco. I'll never forget it. I was looking for a pub and I saw a place. I should have known where. It said like it was famous for Philly cheesesteaks. So I show up in me Giants blue and I get to this place and it's literally a sea of green. And they're like, get the fuck out of here. So I went to this lonely little bar and I was almost in tears when he made that field goal at the end. What was it, 61? 61 yards. Punter, Johnny Hecker.
Yeah.
Honourable mention, Pat McAfee, Barstool Sports. Hashtag for the brand, even though he's an AFC guy. But so who does the Giants take?
Guy called Odell Beckham, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. Fair enough. I should have known that.
Do you still want Zach Martin over him?
No, I'll take Odell. I hope he stays. I bought enough of his jerseys. It's been talked that maybe they could get a shit ton if they traded him, but I don't think you let someone like that walk away.
Well, I mean, if they're doing a complete reboot. No, Pat Shermer is
going to want Yeah, he's going to want Eli just throwing the ball to Odell. Yeah, so that's my...
I may as well throw in my AFC special teams, guys, and then we can just move on to both the defenses. I've got Chris Boswell, who's as kicker, who's actually here at the moment.
That's right.
35 of 38 and 13 of 14 on kicks of 40-plus yards, including being 4 of 4 from 50-plus yards, which is pretty outrageous. He won a lot of games for the Steelers. A punter, Brett Kern, who is also here. I'm not just... It looks like I'm just copying who's here. But maybe I am. He led the league in average yards per punt with 49.7. And I said to you, I was throwing in some kind of like someone else in special teams. I've got a long snapper. Because I've got Clark Harris of the Bengals, who is also here. But I don't know if you know, he was here a couple of days ago and he set the Guinness World Record for the longest long snap ever.
Oh, nice.
36 yards. And 8 inches. I don't even know if I could throw the ball that far normally.
Even kick the ball that far, probably. Fair play to him.
So, yeah, respect to Clark Harris.
I was to go with a long snapper, who's that magician that used to be with the Eagles?
John Darnbos. He's still their long snapper, you know.
He's with the Saints.
Something like that, yeah.
I just, because he does magic and shit, that's who I pick as my long snapper. Awesome.
Imagine being a long snapper and just getting it, because they don't get voted in. They're just picked by the coaching staff. Some coaching staff. Yeah, so imagine just like getting a free trip.
The Rams special team unit, like their special teams coach needs a fucking raise.
He was class on All or Nothing.
Yeah, kicking and punting off the charts. We take a quick water break and we move on to defense real quick.
Yeah.
So I didn't get a water. I actually got a Bud Light here. So dilly dilly for the next 15 minutes. So we'll move on to the defensive side of the ball. And neither of us are defensive players. We know Jer is. So we'll rattle through this a little bit quicker because we're offensive guys. So you go ahead there with your roster.
This might be a bit of an out there name to start off with at defensive end, but I've got Yannick Ngakoue. And a lot of talk about Dante Fowler, kind of early first round pick. But Yannick Ngakoue...
I'm impressed you pronounced that correctly. I would have balled that up badly.
Well, yeah, based on your pronunciation of Kyle Juszczyk.
Yeah, Kyle Juice Box.
Ngakoue, this isn't really indicative of his dominant performances this season, but it's a very interesting stat. He was personally responsible for 5 touchdowns this season. He returned a fumble for a touchdown, and 4 of his forced fumbles were returned for touchdowns. Finished the season with 12 sacks, led the league in forced fumbles with 6, and his 11 forced fumbles through 2 seasons are the most by any player since 2000. The amount of times you just see him coming off the edge screaming with speed, and he always finds a way to get a hand in there and knock the ball out of the quarterback's hands. He is probably the... along that Jaguars defense is just unbelievable, and I think he is one of the biggest reasons to be excited about that defense moving forward, because he's young and he's been overlooked so far because of all the kind of all of the talent around him, but this year he really kind of stepped forward and made himself known as one of the premier pass rushers in the AFC, if not the entire NFL. I think
it's quite a good synopsis there.
Well, I didn't leave anything else for you to
No, that's brilliant. I didn't even cover the AFC defense, so this is all you now for next week. For a couple of minutes, I'll nod my head and input where.
Pretty much just the Jags D line.
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Jags on this defense.
All right, so keep going while you're hot then.
The other defensive end, I'm going with Cam Hayward of the Steelers. He's not typically a huge sack guy, known as a great run defender. He's never had more than 7.5 sacks in a season before this year, and he had 12 sacks as well this season, 17 tackles for loss. I think he's always, as I said, he's always been that dominant guy against the run, and the fact that he was able to make another progression this year and rack up a load of sacks, really good year from him, I think.
Okay.
Defensive tackle, maybe it might be better classifying this guy as a defensive end, but Calais Campbell, I put inside. Love I think it. I prefer him as an inside guy. 14.5 sacks at age 31. I thought he was a pretty big time free agent pickup for the Jags.
Oh, huge. He was like one of the most prized defensive players on the free market, yeah.
And I guess kind of like he's always put up decent sack numbers, but he's never been kind of like a high double digit sack guy. And he just, in that defense this year, took a huge step forward. I just never would have expected that kind of dominance from him at that age. 14.5.
He probably had 4 in the first game against the Texans, where they
had I think he actually did. I think I have a feeling he did.
You overlooked Joey Bosa?
Yeah, I did. I did.
I'm a big fan of Joey Bosa. Purely because his Instagram activity is hilarious. I think he just sits on Barstool smoke shows all day. Because it's like, I can't remember, like Big Boy Bosa or whatever his handle is, has liked this picture. I was like, Jesus, this man is quick on the trigger.
Yeah.
Loves those smoke shows.
I actually, and I think I talk about this a lot on NFL Talk, is that I really didn't like him at all coming out of Ohio State. I thought he was kind of just...
I'm unplugging the microphone.
Would you rather me...
Receivers.
Okay, sorry for admitting my mistakes. I can just pretend like I was right about everything. Yeah, I loved Joey Bosa. I've always thought he's a monster. So
what did you not like about him?
No, I loved him. I thought he was great. No, I'm only messing. I just thought he was kind of like a guy, a big bulky guy who looked good, but he didn't really seem to have any speed. Decent pass rush moves, but I thought he was kind of just didn't move that well. But you've seen him since the end of the league, just what he does with his hands specifically. I think he might have the kind of the best pass rush moves with, like, in maybe in the whole league at this early stage of his career. I kind of wanted to give some love to Yannick. That's maybe why I overlooked.
Well, I'd give love to Yannick. I probably would have put Bosa on the other side. Just give him what a DN really.
Yeah.
So would you give him an honourable mention then?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
his
dad is actually, he comes from good stock. His dad is from Massachusetts. He's a Hall of Famer at Boston College. And now his younger brother, Nick,
is tearing it up in
Ohio State as well. So their dad needs to like sell his sperm or something, because he just produces stud NFL players. Same with Gronkowski's dad, he should be like on a stud for him.
The Manning's dad out there, the Gronkowski's dad out there, Chris Long's dad out there.
Yeah, get them all in the big stud farm and just make an absolute shit ton of money.
My other defensive tackle is Geno Atkins. Yeah, boo me for putting in a bangle there. But he's pretty under the radar as a dominant player in the NFL. Consistently pushes the pocket, and he's not the kind of fluid athlete that Aaron Donald is, but I think his power and his quickness off the snap are really good. I would see every snap of his over the past number of years. So yeah. I think there's not another guy here, maybe Jarrell Casey from the Titans, but I think Geno Atkins, he's very quiet. He never talks to the media at all. So he's not really in the news that much at all. But if you watch
the talking on the field.
Yeah.
That's what he's getting paid to do.
Yeah.
Was it Talvin Smith called him out?
I don't think anyone could. Oh, Jarrell Casey. Yeah. They're talking about Geno Atkins. No. Yeah. Jarrell Casey said something about, I don't remember what he said, but I remember in the locker room after the Jags beat
the Steelers, Pelias was given an interview, and I think Talvin came up then and talked about Jarrell having to sit at home on the couch next week and watch
the NFC Championship. You forgot to mention Calais Campbell like predicting the score that game, by the way. which you got NFL Talk had a video up about. I was like, wow.
That was outrageous. Like,
Mystic Calais.
28-21 is on the ground, but 45-42 is so specific. Yeah. It's almost
Illuminati confirmed.
Yeah. Let's move on to my linebackers. Middle linebacker, I've got CJ Mosley. And I feel like he's also a guy you don't hear that much about when you're talking about the NFL's defensive stars, but he's just consistently performed at a high level since he entered the league in 2014. 96 tackles and 7 pass defenses this season. He's kind of just a do-it-all kind of guy. So
he's Alabama, right? Because Alabama churn out running back, like the physical positions, running back, offensive linemen, and linebackers.
And like you got defensive linemen. And secondary guys.
You got not good quarterbacks though, yeah. Which we'll know from AJ McCarron. But like, he's another one of those bruisers.
AJ McCarron is still one of the best quarterbacks to ever come out of Alabama.
Best quarterback in Nick Saban's era.
Yeah. And that's...
Unfortunately, I don't know why the
Bengals...
Who knows?
Tua, the Hawaiian guy. Yeah. He's looks like he's going to be a monster.
They just don't latch on in the NFL for some reason.
Huge Jaguars run here. Sam linebacker, I've got Telvin Smith. Unbelievable athlete. He's got speed, ran a 4.52 at the combine, and you can trust him to cover tight ends down the field.
That's the exact same 40 time they had at the Pro Bowl experience yesterday. They used Kareem Hunt. There was a bit of something dodgy going on about that video, because he was jogging along and then all of a sudden it speeds up past everybody. I'm like, who the fuck designed this thing?
That guy in the Major League Baseball. Do you ever see him? He's in one of those onesie suits where you can't see his face, and he runs around the track, but they pick a fan.
Freeze, I think he's called Freeze or something, yeah. He lost once, though. Some guy actually beat him, yeah, and he was, like, devastated over it, because he would win every week. Like,
you had one job, to beat this fucking fool he's trying to race, and you can't do it.
He was in that morph suit.
Head start.
Yeah.
There was that gravy, it was like this surfer-looking dude who thought he had it won.
Oh, yeah, he started
slowing off at the end.
And the Freeze just dips his head in at the line and beats him, like...
And then at Will linebacker, I've got Miles Jack, one of my favorite personal defensive players in the league. I remember in our mock draft, our NFL Talk mock draft, we actually mocked him in the top 5 coming out of UCLA, and he ended up falling, I think, to the second round because of injury concerns.
Mm.
But he's an even better athlete than Telvin Smith. At UCLA,
he was going to be running back. They couldn't figure out what position to
play. And also at UCLA, he used to cover not just slot receivers. He used to go and cover outside receivers linebacker. And he just was flying around the field. He's just an absolutely absurd athlete. The Jaguars are going to be back next year. Just from reading all these names, that defense is just
Eli is going to bring him to a Super Bowl, too, by the way.
Here's one for you. Jadeveon Clowney, then. Because he gets classified as an outside linebacker.
In a 4-3, this is a 4-3, so he'd have to be a defensive end for us in this.
He's here as a defensive end, right? Or he was voted in as a defensive end, Clowney.
They need to switch that voting to edge, just general edge rushers. Edge rushers classic linebackers. Yeah. And then I've got my two cornerbacks here, Jalen Ramsey and AJ Bouye. So there's 4 Jaguars in a row for you. Right. Ramsey solidified himself as the best cornerback in the league this season. He backs up his trash talk like no one else can.
He said he was going to win a Super Bowl.
That's the only thing he got.
He's like, bring on Tom Brady. Well, careful what you wish for, buddy.
Yeah.
Which the Eagles fans have done this week.
Lane Johnson said he wants a shot at that pretty boy Tom Brady.
Well, the Eagles fans in some event were saying fuck Tom Brady there during the week.
Wait, what's Lane Johnson doing? Lane Johnson isn't even on the field at the same time as Tom Brady.
He's played against him once.
He'll come on now as DN now for one play. This is one chance to get a pop at Brady.
Yeah. And then AJ Bouye, who maybe goes a bit under the radar because Ramsey's there, but he was such a great pickup for them. 6 interceptions and 18 passes defensed. That's always weird. Pass defensed. He defensed. I think you say he defensed 18 passes, which is absolutely ridiculous. How is that in English? How do you say that?
The better stat is considering if he's got Ramsey on one side, so you know teams are going to try and pick on him because they don't want to go to Ramsey, and he didn't give up a touchdown in the regular season at all.
That's true.
Antonio Brown got the first one.
Which was even just an incredible play. It's not like he got beat straight up. It was just a great play.
Honorable mention there is Tre'Davious White, the rookie for the Bills, who
why is he? What's he known for? Getting the people's elbow from Gronk.
Fair enough. And then my two safeties are, I've got Kevin Byard, who led the league with 8 interceptions. And I remember listening to a PFF podcast before the season, and Sam Monson actually was talking him up in a big way. And I had literally never heard of Kevin Byard before, but he's actually in Orlando at the moment.
Psychic
Unbelievable
Sam.
Season, yeah.
He needs to come on to NFL Talk. Yeah, need to slide through the DMs there.
Yeah,
fellow Irishman needs to come on and chat with you.
And then I got Micah Hyde of the Bills, who was... He's also here selected. Oh, no, he's not here. He was selected to the Pro Bowl, but he's injured. 5 interceptions. Great pickup from Green Bay for the Bills. So that's my AFC defense. I've got... We can run through them all at the end, maybe. Or something. Yeah. That'd be boring.
Have you got a returner in there, or did you already mention
it? I don't have a returner, but I can go with Tyreek Hill, sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, fair enough. All right, so defense...
I'd like to give an honorable mention, because I predicted it. For the AFC Championship, to James Harrison, that I said he could be a difference maker.
Why you want to put him in the start as one of the best linebackers in the league?
Pro Bowl lifters, Pro Bowl workout warriors. He would be like first ballot Hall of Famer for fucking lifting videos that he puts up on Instagram. Chap's a beast.
Steelers fans need to fucking calm down about that. As if James Harrison, like I know there was talk about him kind of being a dickhead in the facility and all around that, but Steelers fans giving out to James Harrison for being fired and then getting a new job is
it's ridiculous.
Kind of just outrageous. Calm down, lads.
I love how he's like remarketed his merchandise now. He had this like Debo wear or whatever it was, and like black and gold. Now all his Debo wear is like navy and red. I'm like, Jesus, it was a slap in the face. Defensive end, no arguments here, I don't think. Everson Griffin, 13 sacks.
I've got an argument.
fair enough. 3 forced fumbles, just part of a real dominant Vikings defense. You're going to see a few Vikings lads in this. Honorable mention, we saw him yesterday in practice. An absolute unit of a man, Cameron Jordan.
I think the most impressive physical specimen that I saw there yesterday at practice. And I kind of didn't imagine... Like,
are we saying size-wise or just shredded?
There were bigger guys, but just his bulk and his size. I think it was just because I didn't imagine... Should have known, but like when he has his pads on, you're like, okay. Mm. But when he was there without his pads on, and he still looked like an absolute monster
with the hair and all, it was just and like his. I remember looking at his feet, I was like, Jesus, this guy is an absolute monster. Seems like a nice guy as well. I'll go outside to inside. Defensive tackle, Jer, got Fletcher Cox.
91, baby.
26 tackles, 5.5 sacks. That fumble recovery against the Redskins. Which I think that actually won me a fantasy game, that single play at the end.
You had the Eagles defense? Or?
We had IDPs. We play individual defensive players.
Okay.
And that one play won me a fantasy matchup by like literally a half a point. And I was hoping when they do the stats corrections, I was like, wait till we see. We're going to fucking lose this game and the stats come out. But so shout out to Fletcher Cox for making that play. Honorable mention. He's been chirping a little bit on social media that he didn't get selected. Damon Harrison, we spoke about the stats there in the car or something last night. He leads the league and he's consistent run stuffer, but I think he was over 100 plays where he stopped any run for 2 yards or less, which basically is classified as the run being stuffed. So he snacks just eats up those run plays like every year, as he should, because they paid him a shitload of money. The other defensive tackle, Aaron Donald, 41 tackles, 11 sacks, 5 forced fumbles. You said he's the best defensive player in the NFL, did you? Or the NFC?
I would say the most disruptive. Maybe that's
wrecking ball.
That's a bit weird to say, but
the problem is the difference we are.
Well, Jared thinks Fletcher Cox is better than Aaron Donald.
You got to look at what they do, right? So disruption, Aaron Donald is unmatched. The problem is, he goes kind of so far back into the backfield disrupting a play that if it's a draw, he's taken out of the game. Whereas Fletcher will take on the double team, throw the guy away, and stop the run. If you're wanting somebody to get straight after the QB, Donald's your man.
But you look at the numbers, right? Donald, 15 more tackles, 6 more sacks, couple more forced fumbles.
But look,
hard to argue.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. Where
that straight away.
I know what you're saying, that he'll take on double back, like double teams, and frees up like linebackers to go
straight away. Look at the Eagles D line. Every two plays, they're changing. They're coming out. There's a new four going in.
That's true.
I guarantee Aaron Donald's on the field more than Fletcher Cox is. The same with Everson Griffin, was in 93% of the Vikings snaps this year. That is insane. So if you look at his first half of the year performance to his second half, the dip is unreal. Because he just didn't have the energy.
We need to find those numbers, so to settle it one way or another, who's better. The end starter, DeMarcus Lawrence, 14.5 sacks. So he's up there with Calais Campbell, 58 tackles. I have no real honourable mention the other DN. I know Michael Bennett's here, but no, I just think he's a dickhead, so I'm not going to put him in.
Brandon Graham wasn't too bad for the Eagles.
He's just
on the Eagles tip all day long. Like, on the Eagles tip. He's on the Eagles tip all day long. Outside linebacker, Ryan Kerrigan, who is here, 46 tackles, 13 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, and an int.
Well, see, he's an edge guy.
Yeah,
so
yeah. It's the classifications.
You're squeaking him in there at 4-3 line, as a 4-3 linebacker.
Well, he was linebacker.
Yeah, he was selected as an
outside linebacker.
Yeah, he was selected to the Pro Bowl as an outside linebacker. Yeah. I'm qualifying my statement by the fact the Pro Bowl committee has him in as an outside linebacker.
Took the piss out of Halapoli Vati Vaitai last year.
Nice pronunciation.
That is impressive. That's straight off the bat. No, no messing.
Eagles last year, so he did.
Middle linebacker Luke Kuechly, tackle machine, 125, 3 ints, just his, he needs to retire. His concussions. Yeah. Like, he is going to have CTE. He's just, like, his.
Game against the Eagles where he took that leg shot straight to the head.
Yeah, he, like, needs to really consider about, like, packing it in over the next year or two, because.
The
woodpecker helmet or neck brace or what was it?
I can't think of the name when I gave it that thing, but, like, did you listen to that episode? So he wears a thing around the neck that kind of cuts the circulation of the blood off to his brain, like a woodpecker would when it's smacking its head. So you never see a woodpecker with CTE.
Well, the research hasn't been put in yet.
No, I'll call up Boston University. You need a few woodpeckers in this study. Like.
But I'm just saying, because they wrap their tongues around the back of their neck when they're pecking, so it cuts off a lot of the blood that's going to the brain. And it swells the brain out, so the brain's fitting within the skull as opposed to being smaller and smashing off the sides.
Woodpecker talk.
This is a new podcast. The Attenborough Hour by Gerard O'Leary is the new nature related.
Imagine if nothing you were saying was picking up on these mics.
We'll find out now in a few minutes.
Podcast, I don't know what podcast it was at the start of the season when I looked into the.
Yeah, the woodpecker thing, yeah. That was actually great. That was very, very interesting. I was like, Jesus, didn't know that was.
It'd be a fucking disaster if these mics don't pick up on that now. I'm just realizing.
Because I said this, the settings on this aren't stereo, so we'll see what happens.
Like a load of silence.
It's just silence. We're just laughing at what you're saying, but now we can hear it.
Right, outside linebacker. He only started 8 games, but I'll stick Anthony Barr in. Just again, because he was just a really strong component of that Vikings defense.
He only started 8 games?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Only started 8 games this year, yeah. In the regular season.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
No, that's the stats. I just remember him taking out fucking
that was the stats I saw where you only started 8. Now we may go back retrospectively and correct it, but
I had in here, I had Deion Jones, I had Luke Kuechly and Deion Jones, and I think you missed on Bobby Wagner. I think he's been arguably the best linebacker in the entire league this season, and he's kind of, I think he's going to be the leader of that defense going forward, the kind of Legion of Boom 2.0.
Okay.
What's the, like, Lions guy,
To hear Whitehead now? Or
linebacker for the Lions.
Who are you talking about? The guy with the beard.
I think he's a rookie this year.
Jared Davis.
Yes, he's an alright season. Not enough to put him up there, but he had a good season. Wagner, though, I don't know.
I think Wagner's been a beast.
Okay. Recommendation taken on board. I'll go into my secondary. You got Marshawn Lattimore. Starting cornerback, bit of Buckeye love there. 53 tackles, 5 ints, 18 passes defended, or defensed rather, should I say.
I don't know what it is.
One defensive touchdown. My honourable mention there, and he's here, Darius Slay Jr. Slay Jr. just looks amazing, by the way, on the back of a jersey. Other cornerback, Xavier Rhodes, you know, what needs to be said about him. And we've got honourable mention, Patrick Peterson, PP, who's also here.
Yeah, it's funny, yesterday when he came over to the fans, and everyone thought he was just coming out and say hi and sign autographs, but he's actually just going to grab his daughter.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about you. I'm just here for my kid. And he walked away without signing anything. Free safety, Earl Thomas, part of the Legion of Boom there. 88 tackles, 1 forced fumble, 2 wins. You reckon he'll be staying there in the Legion of Boom 2.0 for the next...
Of course he's looking for a big contract.
Well, he wants to go to Dallas as
well. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, he wants Dallas to sign him.
He chased Jason Garrett out, didn't he?
Yeah.
Strong safety, and it's the only the only starter from the Giants, Landon Collins, who has been a fucking revelation at safety. Great pickup the Giants got him out of Alabama. 104 tackles, 1 forced fumble, 2 wins, 6 passes defended.
Very impressive when we see him at the Giants camp.
Yeah.
Just the size of
him. Yeah, yeah. He's a unit, yeah. He moves very quick. Honourable mention, Harrison Smith.
Yeah, I was going to say, PFF gave him their Defensive Player of the Year award outright.
Harrison Smith?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they absolutely love him.
Maybe that was before Zach Ertz made him look like
Nah, he's been fantastic.
Notre Dame as well.
That's right. And we got to meet him a few years ago in Croke Park. That was nice.
It's unfortunate, though, like all the Vikings players went to the opposite side of the field yesterday to sign autographs. Because we were going to walk up to him and say, hey, seen you 6 years ago, any chance of a new update?
Oh, I thought you wanted to rub the Eagles win in his face or something.
Returner, and he's here as the return specialist, Farrell Cooper. That's just because there was nobody really that jumped out apart from him. Averaged 27 yards, and he had that 103-yard touchdown, which it's very, very rare to see a triple digit return for a touchdown. So
Bobby Smith touchdown like that and he tripped at the 1 yard line.
Well, I actually tripped at the 1 yard line doing a fake kick return against Carrick Fergus Knights a couple of years ago. I faked the handoff. That was me.
Oh, yeah.
Faked the handoff to Sam Hodgins, ran it all the way. It was when all the yards were combined, it was like 90 something and I fell over at the one. So that's why I'm not in the NFL like Farrell Cooper. So that's my defense and returner.
Did you not have Pat Murray as your kicker?
On the NFC.
Disrespect. Yeah. After all.
I know. Yeah. Should have put him in as honorable mention. Pat knows we love him. I had my hand on his leg when we were chatting to him. And so I would like to assume that he knows I love him. I hope to see him in a Buccaneers jersey now moving forward for 2018. So I guess we'll find out in a couple of weeks maybe.
Yeah.
And a lovely guy. He was great to us chatting to us. So yeah. Shout out to Pat Murray for the books.
Yeah, I keep getting out. Are you getting all those texts from the Pro Bowl?
That we have to go to the stadium soon. Yeah,
yeah, we should go to the Pro Bowl. Maybe.
Come and spend money at our Pro Bowl event. Yeah,
for traffic for that 10 minutes that you were
away. Yeah, yeah, we're only 10 minutes away from the stadium. So, is that
that's
we got
it.
Anything else to cover? That's it for our Pro Bowl special.
Yeah.
NFL Talk Paddy Pigskin mashup.
So just make sure you're subscribed to both, liking both on Facebook, and. Yeah, if you're listening to Paddy Pigskin, just stop listening to it and listen to us.
And for any Paddy Pigskin listeners that don't listen to NFL Talk, make sure you check them out on wherever you listen to Paddy Pigskin. Also search for NFL Talk. Cahill, Kieran, Sean and Jack are really good. I love listening to them every week. Good to see another Irish football podcast that's doing very well. So yeah.
Should have flown them over and got all of us together here.
Would have been good, yeah. Someday we can get the full squad together. We're actually meeting another Barry from Paddy Pixie and one of the other contributors. He's going to be at the game later, so it'll be the first time you, me, Barry, and my dad, who has also been on the show, will be in the one place. So maybe we can do some Facebook Live or whatever. But I think that's it for our Pro Bowl special, isn't it?
Okay.
Do you want to do your roundout, whatever you say at the end of your show?
No particular sign off. Just thanks Evan for listening, and I'm gonna mention for a third time just to subscribe to the podcast.
Grand. I'll sign off from the usual. Tune in next time to Paddy Pigskin, where as always there will be less slant and more slauncher.
Boom.
Boom. Take care.